officially the last day of 2017, which is crazy to think about. I hope and pray that you had a good Christmas and had a good time with family and friends, and certainly we're mindful of those who are traveling and away from us this morning, and prayers that they're safe in their journeys. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 2, just kind of make a note of that, and we'll jump in here in a little bit. So this morning, we're going to talk about endings. And next week, then we're going to talk about beginnings, starting new things. And I had kind of wrestled, you know, I was kind of thinking which way I could go, one way or the other. And I thought, you know, I don't know that I really want to talk about the end, right? Like end times. I'm like, that might be a little like. And so this morning, I want you to be thinking about just endings, and what that might look like and mean for you on this last day as 2017 ends. What kind of endings might be in sight for you? Maybe it's an ending that will lead to something else. Maybe there's some things this morning, and I'll kind of prompt you with some questions later to think about, of what are some things in your life and in mind that need to end, that should end, and that perhaps are going to. So I was looking back over 2017 and thinking about some of the things that we had done as this year ends and we wrap it up, some things that we've done here at Gateway Community Church, and we launched a new campus in downtown Fortville, and we're still kind of figuring out, living into what that looks like and what that means, but that was something that we were able to do this year. We built a new community playground. We raised over $40,000 and built a new community playground, and when I say community, I truly mean that. That was the vision from the beginning, and if you talk to Penny, myself, or maybe a number of you, that it truly has been, up to this point, it truly has been a community playground. We have had people from the community there, obviously when the weather isn't, you know, negative degrees, out there all the time hanging out. And we hear from them, thank you so much for doing this. We genuinely feel welcome and invited here to come and play on this playground. I mean, a big part of that is a banner out front that just says, hey, this is for you guys, come and hang out. And so we were able to do that this past year. This past year, we received 34 new individuals into membership here at Gateway, which is a pretty cool, exciting thing to celebrate and think about. As we wrap up this year, to date, our current 2018 stewardship pledge stands at $310,700, which is an increase of over $12,000 from last year's stewardship pledge, and actually has 2 to 3 less giving units. So last year, we had 298,000 roughly in our stewardship pledge with, I think it was 55 giving units. We're looking at 2018 at 310,700 with maybe 52 or 53 giving units. That's a pretty exciting thing to be thinking about, and that God's been doing in and through you this year. We had 153 kids participate in our two VBSs here at our Indy campus and our Fortville campus. Last week, between our three Christmas Eve services, this doesn't even count childcare, because I don't even know what that was, but there were times when it seemed like it was bananas. So our three services last week on Christmas Eve, we had 380 people participate in worship with us as we kind of wrap up this 2017 year. I'm going to be thinking about endings and what that might look like for you and for me as we close out this 2017, and invite you to hear these words from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. I'm going to pray before we jump in. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks, and we pray that as we hear and we read these words, that we've heard them perhaps a lot of times before, and that you would speak new and fresh to us. Lord, we pray that you would open our hearts to hear your voice, because it's your voice that we need to hear. And so we pray that you would just speak to us this morning. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem, and they asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Verse 3. Well, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. And they said, "Well, duh." Just kidding. They said, "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is exactly what the prophet said. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, you are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Well, then Herod called the Magi secretly, and he found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem, and he said, "Now go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report back to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshipped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. We don't really know a ton about these guys. We don't really know exactly who they were or where they came from. We know they traveled thousands of miles to come and find this new baby king, this Messiah. They could have been Jews that had been in exile in Babylon for some time, and they could have been kind of a remnant there, and so it's possible that they were of Jewish descent. We don't really know that for sure. Of course, they would know the Old Testament scriptures. They would know all of the prophecies that would talk about and say exactly where this Messiah would be born. So it's possible that they might have known that way. It's possible that they could have been some Eastern astrologers who just were there, and as the Jews were exiled there, that they would have had exposure to or access to the Old Testament scriptures, and they would have studied those, and they would have paid attention to the skies and seen the star and said, "We got to go and check this out." It's possible that they could have received a special message from God. I mean, clearly throughout Matthew's gospel and even the Christmas story, we see that God shows up in some incredible ways. So it's possible that God could have said, "Hey, you guys, you need to go check this thing out." We don't know how many, we don't know exactly who they were, but we know that they traveled a long way. Now, by the time that they arrived to see and to find Jesus, it had been at least a year, maybe as much as 2 years after Jesus had been born. So they've been traveling for some time, and they show up and they find Jesus there playing, running around as toddler Jesus might be, hanging out with his family. Now, as we read Matthew's gospel, it tells us that these guys show up to Herod's house and they're like, "Hey, where's this new baby that's been born as the king?" And Herod's like, "What are you talking about? Like, what do you mean? What are we talking about? Like, all of the Old Testament scripture, the prophecy says there's going to be this new baby Messiah, this king of the Jews is going to be born. Where is he? We've come to worship." And Herod's like, "Let me call in my leader guys. Guys, what's going on?" And they're like, "Duh. I mean, it's the prophet Micah said this is what's going to happen. Let's find out where this is all going down." And it caused some anxiety for King Herod. I mean, he was troubled. And even the passage, Matthew tells us that all of Jerusalem with him, the whole town was sort of like, what's this rumor of this baby king that's been born? Now, there's a couple of reasons why this would have caused Herod some stress. One of the first reasons is he is not the rightful heir to the throne, right? He was appointed there by Rome, which means that a lot of the Jewish people didn't really like him because he was seen sort of as an extension of the occupying force. And he was not the rightful heir to a throne in the line of King David. So he's going, "Wait a second, if this really is a king born who is the rightful heir, then that means I'm out of job." So he was stressed about that. He also knew that if the last thing he would want is for the Jews to rally around this religious figure, and then ultimately he would be overthrown. And then he would have all of the trouble of this group of people to deal with because they were united around this particular figure. Herod was a ruthless guy. He had a lot of enemies, and he was constantly paranoid that someone, anyone, everyone was about to overthrow him. So all of these factors are playing into why this was causing Herod to have some stress. Now, if it was possible that the wise men were in fact Jewish, where they came from was an area that was second in power only to Rome. And so these magi, these wise men, they would have been all about the idea of having a new Jewish king, right? The rightful heir to the throne in the line of David, because that would have swayed the balance of power away from Rome. Well, King Herod would know that, and so it caused him some stress, and he was troubled, as well as all of Jerusalem. And so what's interesting to me is that as the prophets say, Bethlehem of Judea was about 5 miles south of Jerusalem. These strangers had traveled thousands of miles to follow a star to come find the Messiah. 5 miles. And no one from King Herod's court went. King Herod never sent any of his people. They're like, hey, you know what? It's 5 miles to the south. Make the trek. Let's go down and check this thing out. Rather, what do? Well, these guys show up at Herod's house, and they're like, where's the king? And he's like, I don't know. Go find him, and then come back and tell me where he is. And I mean, that could be a message all in and of itself. How often do you and I expect or send other people to do this thing, or we just refuse to go that extra 5 miles? We talk about go the extra mile. For King Herod, it was 5 miles. For this trouble that it caused the city, it would have only taken a handful of people to go, let's just go 5 miles and go figure it out ourselves. And yet no one did. No, you guys go. You guys go, and then you come back and let us know. How often in our lives do we expect other people to figure it out for us? Or just kind of say, I don't really want to go the extra. Now they go, and they find, sure enough, they find the star, and they find Jesus. And Matthew tells us that they were overjoyed. And I think really two reasons in particular why they were overjoyed. One is that they've been traveling for thousands of miles following the stinking star, and it hadn't stopped. And they're like, oh my gosh, the star is still moving. So when the star finally stopped over Bethlehem, they were, I would guess, they were overjoyed that there was an end in sight. Like that, we know the journey is about to end because the star has finally stopped. And I wonder, at the end of 2017, for some of us, we just need to know that there's an end in sight. And I don't know what that end looks like for you or what that means, but that there's an end in sight, and there can be joy in knowing that there's an end in sight. Maybe it's a job that you're like, I hate this job. It's killing me. Right? There's an end in sight, and you can see it, and there can be joy even in that. So they see the star, it finally stops, and they're really excited that their journey, like, that it stopped. There's now a place. And then, of course, they walk into the room, and there is toddler Jesus, toddler Messiah, running around with his family. And they are overjoyed, and they bring gifts. You know the gifts, they're what? Okay. Gold would be a gift fit for who or what? King, right? Royalty. Frankincense would be a gift fit for who? That's good. We can talk. Guess. So think higher than royalty. Yeah, a deity, right? Frankincense was a gift for a deity. Do you know what frankincense is? There's the other tricky question. I describe it as like old school potpourri. Right? It's like a like a gum or like a an oil from a bark of a tree that has a nice scent to it. And then the last gift was what? Okay? And that was a gift for what? Burial, right? Embalming. They use myrrh for so gold as a gift for a king, frankincense as a gift for a deity, and myrrh as a gift for one who was going to die. So even as Jesus begins his life, the end is also a thing that's we're foreshadowed. And so at the end of 2017, and we talk about endings, there's also beginnings there. How many of you remember a 90s band? That's my thing. Called Semisonic. Anybody? Like a couple of us? Okay. They had more than one song, but pretty much they had like one song. Do you know the song? Closing Time. That's it. Remember the Closing Time. Okay, whatever. There's a line in that song that says, every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end. And so on this last day of 2017, what I want you to be thinking about is, what are some of the things that perhaps in your life need to end? Or should end? What are some things in your life where you can kind of see the end in sight, and with that, there's some joy knowing that there's an ending in sight? And perhaps there will be things that end that you didn't anticipate. I had a conversation with someone before the last service who was talking about her dad, who had recently, in the last couple years, lost his wife, her mom. And the transition that he's in of working through, what does that look like and mean for the end of a chapter? And with that ending becomes the opportunity and the possibility of a new chapter. And we'll talk about the starting and the new chapters and beginnings next Sunday. But this morning, I want you to be thinking about what new beginnings might be lying underneath some endings, perhaps, in your life. I mean, have you ever had where you've been on a trip or a journey? I've got family who lives in Michigan, and we're going to be going up there in a couple weeks to see my dad's side of the family, which is on the east side of the state. And it's a 5 or 6 hour journey, depending on weather. It could be more. And with a 3-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 7-year-old, there are legs of the journey where you're just like, oh my gosh, if we can just get through this part of the journey, there's another, you know, it begins a new part of the journey. It's an end of one thing to begin another thing. Right, it's one part of the journey just to get there. Then you're like, okay, we survived that. Now we have to survive actually being here, and then that's the other part you get through, and then you survive that to begin the next journey to come home. I mean, the wise men, were they not doing that? I mean, thousands of miles they were on this journey, and they got to the point where finally the star stopped, and they finally found the baby. That was the end of that part of their journey, but it only began the next part. New beginnings from some other beginning's end. And I wonder this morning, on this last day of 2017, what would it look like if we were to end our journey there at the manger? What if for some of us we're looking for something? And what if part of that searching and that looking, what if part of that journey ended there where we found Jesus? And that then something new might begin. You know what? This part of my life, this journey, or this season in my life, I'm thankful for the seasons. We live in a place where seasons are a thing, because it reminds us that there are endings and there are beginnings, and that beginnings come out of endings. What would it look like if you ended there at the manger and found Jesus, and what new thing might begin there? What new journey might be able to start there in that beginning? Perhaps you've been waiting and looking for some opportunity to end that journey of searching and looking and trying. And maybe it would end there at Jesus so that something new might begin. But we'll talk about the new stuff next week. Lord, we give you thanks. Because you would give us the opportunity to start new. We give you thanks for the reminder of seasons and how there are times when things in our lives need to come to an end. But that even in the midst of those endings, there is the hope and the promise of new beginnings. And so we pray that you might increase our faith, that we might trust that even in the transitions of one season to another or one chapter to the next or one ending to this new beginning, that we might see the hope of opportunity. That there is opportunity in endings. And so we end this year knowing that you have been with us, that you are with us, and that you will be with us. Knowing also of the hope that you promise of what it might look like to start something new from here. Thanks for being willing to walk with us through all of that.